What's up, y'all? It's your man Sam, host of Just Talk With Sam podcast. What? Just Talk With Sam podcast. Dude, we got a good one for you guys today. I get a chance to sit down with Leon Carpenter, the founder and the creator of Motor City Musicians and MCMTV. This guy is a man of my own heart. I mean, it's cool. We get a chance to talk with not only a fan of the podcast, but he has his own thing going on too, which is pretty great. He's a great interviewer. If you haven't done so by now, if you didn't read it in the description, please go to MotorCityMusicians.com. You get a chance to see a lot of his work. You get a chance to see a lot of the stuff we're doing on the podcast. We're going to go get more in depth about his involvement with that and his, you know, take on the music scene here in Detroit. First, we got to pay some bills. We're going to do something a little bit different today before we start talking about Leon. We're going to bring in a person we're trying to train. We kind of plugged this in the last podcast, but we're trying to beef up Tasha's MC skills. So, she's going to be doing parts of the reads.
Yeah.
She's not going to do the most important parts because, well...
Why can't I do the most important
parts? We're one take right here. We got to get down to Leon Carpenter. We got to talk about some Motor City Musicians. We got to talk about a lot of the other projects. We may make a mention of Garden of Soul. We got some stuff to talk about. But first, I want to say, as always, thanks for going to SamShowNation.com, clicking the donate button, and giving back to the podcast. By you guys doing that, you click the donate button. Every bit that you give goes right back into the podcast, and we thank you for that. It gives us new mics, it frees up server space. It's a lot of production. Pretty much, it keeps the free funny free. So I want to say thanks to all the people of SamShowNation.com who went, hit the donate button, and gave whatever makes them feel like a good person. Also, if you wanted to do that, you can also go to SamShowNation.com, hit the store button, and you can get whatever you want, whether those be t-shirts, whether those be stickers, whether that be some archived episodes, whether that be, you know, the free iTunes app. Actually, it's a good way for you to keep in touch with the podcast by getting the iTunes app. My Apple people out there, you guys get to subscribe, rate, and review, and you guys are just get the podcast as soon as it's released to the public, and you see a little bit of behind the curtain, a little backstage stuff. So please, by all means, by going to SamShowNation.com, hitting the store button, and shopping as you normally would. I would also like to plug one of our sponsors, which is ScoreBig.com, who is sponsoring the roast. ScoreBig.com, actually, before we get into ScoreBig.com, I want to say I will be at the roast at the Detroit Pub July 18th. My roast. The roast of Sam McClain. Yeah, the roast. The thing we've been talking about for weeks. You can meet me at the roast at the Detroit Pub 14 and Harper. You can get there early. You can shake my hand. You can talk to me in person. I will be there. I will take pictures. I'll do all that stuff. You can get there early enough. You can probably roast me yourself. So, the Detroit Pub, July 18th. The cover is $5. And, you know, it starts. Doors open at 8. We would love to see you guys there. We talk. Oh, we can't talk about the bands themselves.
Name tag, you got Nathan Driz Johnson, and we have After the Tide. You are in for a treat. Please join us. You are at the 8 Detroit Pub, Clinton Township, not the one downtown, the one in Clinton Township.
Yeah, 14 and Harper.
Clinton Township.
All right, then. Speaking of ScoreBig.com, you have an ad in your hand from the good folks at ScoreBig.com. Please try.
Well, ScoreBig.com is offering for the month of June, for dads and grads, so to speak, a $20 off coupon. The code will be DadsWin20. So you get that $20 off of $100 on ScoreBig.com. Get your dad some tickets to the Tigers game, to whatever game, whatever city you're in. Go on ScoreBig.com so you...
But wait. How would I go to ScoreBig.com?
You!
Me!
Not you!
Not me.
You, the listeners, can go to www.samshownation.com. Go to the current promotions, click the Score Big banner, go there, order whatever ticket that you darn well please, enter the code DadsWin20, and win you $20 off of your ticket. How about those apples, Sam?
It's not as easy as it looks, is it?
Oh, I'm fine.
It's not as easy as it looks.
I have to practice. I'm garnering a YouTube channel.
We noticed. way to plug your old thing in the middle of our end.
My YouTube channel's not up yet, but I am on the brink of starting a YouTube channel. So,
Wait, we're on break?
What? I am on the brink.
Brink. See, one thing about being in, you gotta enunciate.
Anywho, whatever Sam says, please go to www.samshownation.com. Hit the score big banner.
It's like an extra W with that.
It's not an extra W, I just paused. Scorebig.com. Code is DadsWin20. Back to you, Sam.
No, I want to see how well you do this, because this is not easy. What's the next read?
The next one is, all right, everyone's dad, I'm sure, likes the barbecue. Maybe. Some dads more than others. I know my dad personally owns about 8 grills. I don't know what they're all for. But if your dad is like my dad and he's a barbecue enthusiast, you may want to score him a man grate this Father's Day.
What's a man grate?
A man grate is a cast iron grilling system. It's actually a grate that you put on the barbecue grill right along with the other ones. It comes with the cast iron grate. Maybe you can get one or two, and you get a cute little brush. I don't want to say it's a cute little brush, but it's a good brush to scrub your man grate with. And the code to get that 37% off that they're offering.
Whoa. How much it costs before I save 30% off?
Before you save 30%, Sam, it's $29.99.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Not if you go to SamShowNation.com.
But if you go to SamShowNation.com.
It's $19.99 plus shipping and handling.
Hit the man grate link, and you will get 37% off of your total order, bringing it to a little under $19.
Whoa.
And the code is Father's Day 14.
Let me show you how it's done.
I'm doing good. You're a hater. That's what you are. I'm doing it different. I don't have to do it the way you do.
Before we lose a sponsor, let me show you how it's done. You can always go to SamShowNation.com on the current promotions page. Click the Man Grate. It's the Man Grate Grill Enhancement System. You can get the Tasha special, but you're better off with getting the Sam Show Nation special by clicking that Man Grate link on the current promotions page at SamShowNation.com.
No, Sam, they sent us a coupon code.
But it's $19.99. And then on top of the $19.99, you can save an extra 37% by putting in the coupon code.
I'm going to be professional and read what they wrote to us.
Okay.
It says,
typos and all.
These retail for $29.99 each.
They do.
But we are offering 37% off of your total order of man grates for dad. Let them get a taste of food grilled on cast iron. To purchase the man grates at the discounted price, click the code Father's Day 14.
You're not wrong, but you get a chance to double dip. See, by going to SamShowNation.com.
SamShowNation.com. You already
got the special of $19.99.
You may want to hit SamShowNation and score you a free brush with your man grate.
And then you get a free brush, and then on top of that, you put in that code. What's that code again?
That code is Father's Day 14.
And if you put that, you get an extra 37% off that. Plus shipping and handling. Hey, I don't want to say
this,
but we're not paying shipping now. Plus shipping and handling. But on top, you get a chance to double dip for Father's Day.
Are we missing one?
No, we got one more, and I'll save this, the granddaddy of them all. Amazon.com. Look.
Amazon is my favorite website. Anybody who knows me knows that Amazon is my favorite website. They have everything. They have everything from hair weave to butt plugs. I'm joking. But they do sell them.
I mean, I don't think.
Everything.
Is that your favorite? I'm learning some new stuff.
Amazon, you know Amazon is my favorite website. I am currently in the market for a Polar fitness watch. So, Amazon, I will be hitting you up later to get my watch.
How would you go to Amazon?
You, the listeners of Sam Show Nation.
You could do it too.
I do it all the time when I shop on Amazon. Don't I shop on Amazon probably more than anybody you know?
Could you continue?
Anywho. You, the listeners of the Sam Just Talking with Sam podcast, can go to www.samshownation.com
yep.
and click on the banner which says Amazon.com. It's the banner on the first page of the website. You cannot miss it. Click that link. Shop as you would normally do on Amazon.com. Buy you some hair weave. Hey, buy you some contact solution.
Not as easy as it looks, is it?
Buy you. Heck, buy you some socks. You can even buy some Pandora charms while you're on there. Just go on SamShowNation.com and click that link. Help us out.
And shop as you normally would by going to SamShowNation.com, clicking the Amazon link, buying whatever you got to buy whatever she just named. Look, Father's Day is right around the corner.
What do you want for Father's Day?
Something from Amazon.com. Just go to SamShowNation.com, click the link, and shop as you normally would. Get me whatever you think I should have. They have many Father's Day sales. They have watches, power tools, whatever. It's Father's Day. It's a lot of stuff cool there. Only thing we actually do is take the detour, go to SamShowNation.com, click the Amazon link, shop as you normally would. Not going to lie to you, we get a little bit of a kickback, and that goes right into the... We do. That's what it is. Yeah, we get a little taste. I don't know. I don't even know if that's true or not.
You're helping us out. You're helping yourself.
By going to Amazon, something you're going to do anyway, you get a chance to help the podcast grow and become the multi-tentacle beast that it's become lately. So, now that we got all that out of the way, see, the reason's not as easy as it looks.
It's not as hard as you made it.
Whatever.
Here's what we're pretty darn good at.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to unplug Tasha's mic, as we're doing right now. We are going to reset these mics, actually, and talk to Leon Carpenter of Motor City Musicians, and we will be back in about 90 seconds. See you in a few. This is Just Talk With Sam Podcast, y'all. Just Talk With Sam Podcast. Put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be about it.
I don't know this till like right now.
Seriously.
Review on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all just listen, we never write this out.
I understand. I'm going through the scheduling hell of that right now.
Yeah, man. Like, first of all, Leon Carpenter of Motor City Musicians, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you very much.
I mean, we got too casual a minute ago. We just got way too casual. This is it. I really wish I had more magic with this podcast.
Hey, man, I'm just here talking with Sam.
I know. I really wish there was more bells and whistles. It's just two dudes drinking coffee, eating muffins, talking about stuff they do.
And here's to you.
I know. Now... One thing that we talked about a little bit off mic and what alluded me to make just like push the issue like, dude, you got to be on this podcast is you're a guy, not to sound like I'm super great or anything, but you're a guy after my own heart. You're going to different bands. You're talking to different people. Mm-hmm. And you as a musician yourself, I know I'm covering a lot of ground with this intro, but like you as a musician yourself, I like watching your interviews. I like having people I'm a fan of on my podcast because there's a... You dig in there. You get in there. And you're brave because you do it in video. Most people will punk out like how I am right now, and I just do it with audio, and that's that. Yeah,
well,
please,
it's two different things, though. Two different things. I mean, you're a podcaster, so it's all about the audio. You know, my background is in graphics and animation, video production, and that sort of thing, so it's just natural for me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a pretty decent understanding of how all that works, so it I'm not afraid of it. You know, I could just sit down with these guys, interview them on a little recorder, and go back and turn it into some type of textual blog. But I've got the ability to do all the visual aspect of it, so I will.
The reason I didn't do a blog is because I'm remarkably lazy. I have the tools. The first two interviews we did were supposed to just be blogs on the website. And then I have my little Olympus, and I sit in the middle of the table.
Yep.
Then I thought about it, like, I really don't feel like doing all this stuff. And
it's a lot of work, man.
It does, because you don't want to misquote someone. You don't want to say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to assume. assumptions is crazy. So the following of the show, we just like, hey, why do we need a blog per se? We could just the conversation. We just keep it super casual, and we just talk to people. And
right.
plus, if I was to sit down and write an hour interview word for word, no, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I don't want to be doing any of that either, man. I'll capture it all on tape, and we're good to go. But then I got to do all the editing afterwards, though.
Yeah.
And that's what takes the time.
Yeah, you edit.
I mean, for a couple of days worth of work after I do an interview.
Yeah, see, my interviews are usually just, you heard it.
There
the
it
only
is.
Thing we edit out is to give, like, some very, 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 very sensitive information.
Sure.
And that's not even an edit. It's just kind of like we hit the button.
It's more of a censorship than an edit.
Yeah, it's more of a censorship. It's like, yeah, he shouldn't give his address.
Right, right. Well, the blog for us is actually an afterthought. The whole foundation of the whole thing stems around the forum itself.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, I'll start with a bit of the history.
Oh, please,
where
go
all came
on.
From. All right, so I'm in a band, and the band...
Oh, wait. Before you get into it, I almost forgot. Any form of social media you got before you get into it, please say it right
sure,
now.
Sure, we'll start right with that.
Yep.
MotorCityMusicians.com will be
there
your starting
go.
Point. On there, you'll find buttons to get to our Facebook, which is just /MotorCityMusicians.com.
Mm-hmm.
It'll get you to our Twitter account, which is Motor City Musicians, but spelled MTRCTY Musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take you to the YouTube page as well. But just start with MotorCityMusicians.com, and you'll be able to find everything else from there.
Okay, I wanted to get that out because, you know, people listen to me at work. I'm pretty sure there's a guy, I know there's a guy or gal in their cubicle, and they could just type this up and look at your stuff while they listen to me.
Fantastic,
so.
I like that.
All right, continue. All right. Go on.
Okay,
I'll cut you off.
So the whole idea was that, the band I'm in was looking for a keyboard player a while back, and you don't really have too many options for finding other
mm-hmm.
musicians. You got Craigslist.
Yep.
But everybody understands what Craigslist's all about. You know, your post is gone within a few hours because so many people are posting. It's gone within, a few weeks because it just gets deleted. And I wanted to put together something that would allow the people that are connected with the music industry to be able to connect with each other. So I started digging into it a little bit, and it just kind of exploded from there. So it started with the forum, and then I recycled an old idea that I had back in the 90s. Back then, if you wanted to go out and see some bands or what have you, you had to pull out one of the rags, like Metro Times or what have you.
Gotcha.
And you could see who's playing where, but unless they had like a MySpace page back
yep.
then, you had no idea what they were all about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was before the iPods and iTunes, and you really didn't know what bands were about. So what I wanted to do back then was start my own, like, public cable television show, like a Wayne's World kind of a thing.
Okay,
where I'd find
okay.
the bands that were coming to town, find out where they were before they got to town, go out and interview them, and then air this show before the weekend came so people can get an idea of what the people were all about. It never happened.
Okay.
So I thought, well, hey, why don't I recycle that idea right now? And as it developed, I saw all kinds of incredible opportunities and reasons that I should do this.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, the primary reason is to showcase the talent that we have here in Detroit. That's
yeah.
what Motor City Musicians is all about. There is a wealth of talent here, and people just
yes,
aren't
sir.
Aware of it. And I am just now getting my feet wet and meeting all kinds of really cool people that really should have more exposure. So that's what I'm geared towards. That is the primary focus of doing these interviews, but at the same time, it has to be perpetual. So every time I do an interview, they share that on their Facebook page, and their fans find it. And
mm-hmm.
then when their fans find MotorCityMusicians.com, they find the other bands that I've already interviewed.
And that
and
is,
it perpetuates the exposure.
That
That's
is
what
the
I'm
building
all about.
Blocks of the internet. That's
Absolutely.
How it works. Trust
Absolutely.
Me, as a person, like how you went forth into music,
mm-hmm.
I stumbled into the Detroit music scene. It's a happy accident, but it's an accident nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of like, hey, I like this song. Why don't we have the person who sings it on the podcast? Okay. And then we fast forward 3 years later.
Yeah.
And it's a happy accident. I'm glad it happened because even during then, there's such a wealth of talent that I've had, I don't know how many musicians on this show, and I haven't even really scratched the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got a chance to see stuff like, you ever watched the movie 8 Mile?
Mm-hmm.
You know those, like, underground rap battles
yes,
where
sir.
They light, like barrels on fire. Mm-hmm. That actually happens. Yeah. I did not. I thought it was just a movie. It was just like, no, that actually goes down.
Have you been to Detroit Skills down there at the Bullfrog?
Yes.
Oh, my God. We were playing there one night, the band that I'm in, and we rolled up for load-in, and I walked in the place and thought I was in the wrong place because the Detroit Skills rap battle was going on at the time. I'm like, this is going to be turned into a classic and prog rock show here within the next couple of hours. I'd like to see it, but that's exactly what happened. That show was done. Everybody cleared out. We all got loaded up and just started rocking out.
And that's how it is. We've had live shows where it turns into, okay, we're doing a live podcast, but this is a comedy club. Or this is a jazz club.
Mm-hmm.
And even in our live shows, we're like, you know, you look around like, yeah, I'm looking at the door. The door says we're in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the guy or gal with pink and green hair is going to sit down and watch me tell dick jokes for over an hour. And no, you're right. They clear out. Some linger and stay. And then your audience moved in. It was like such a scheduled thing, and
right.
it was cool. One thing I do want to say, I'm a fan of while watching your interviews.
Mm-hmm.
You go in depth. You go deep. I don't know if that's because you're a musician yourself. You have that like don't bullshit me filter going on, but
yeah, there's a little bit of that.
You go deep. Like I looked at mine. Compared to yours, like anyone else, like how we talked about off mic, I was like, yeah, it's like two magicians trying to out trick each other, be on the pocket. I looked at myself like, wow, I go really, really surface compared to you. What brought that on? What made you the Barbara Walters of Motor City musician?
God, I got a long ways to go, man. I've only done a handful at this point, but you're
going deep, man.
I'm a music fan as well, right? So as I'm meeting these bands. You know, I'm just asking the questions that I'd want to know as a fan, right?
Okay.
I'm a fellow musician, but more importantly, when I'm on that stage or in that studio or wherever I'm at interviewing these guys, I'm just trying to find out a little bit more about them. And and I'm going to contradict you a little bit here because I do dive into it a little bit, but I've also kind of had my reservations. Like, I'm still trying to become comfortable in my own shoes and to get into some of those questions that might be kind of pushing the edge a little bit. So I tend to start with all of the general stuff, you know, where'd you grow up, what were your influences, and that sort of thing. And then I just kind of see where it goes. You know, it kind of turns into just talking with Leon at some point.
Okay,
right?
cool.
You know
what I mean? All right. Maybe with time, mine, if I have to just kind of expose it, but anyone with an iPod can figure out what I'm doing. Every one of my interviews is a Tarantino movie. I don't really start at the beginning. We talk about whatever's happening then, and then that dovetails into something, and that dovetails into something. It's never linear. I always kind of warn my guests. I always do this after the fact. If I have notes on you, or first of all, I stopped making notes a long time ago because I feel as though if you can Google it, you're not going to want to hear it all over again.
Right.
But... And sometimes I do, like, write, like, five or six questions. Like, I have to ask these questions. If I'm struggling with my notes, we're in trouble because you're not getting me anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you should. I mean, like...
Well, I mean... You've seen my interviews. I use cue cards.
Yeah.
I have the cue cards, but that serves two purposes. One, they are true cue cards. So I have not necessarily the fully written questions on there.
Okay.
But maybe certain notes, things that I've discovered that I want to talk about or whatever. True cue cards.
Yep.
The second purpose that they serve is I always leave those with whoever I interview afterwards.
Okay.
In hopes that they put them up in their studio or display them somewhere or what have you, right? It's like giving people bumper stickers.
I get it.
You know
I get
what I mean?
It.
So it's a takeaway for the band as a memento of what we did. But I do use them just to kind of keep some structure.
Okay.
And it's more or less the important things that I want to make sure we do cover. But otherwise, like I said, I just kind of let it flow where it needs to flow.
Yeah, I mastered the art of the selfie. I don't leave cue cards. I can. Mm-hmm. I have on accident where I was just like, yeah, these are my questions. I don't care. You can read them.
Yeah.
The running joke with me with like a lot of our cohorts at Raw Radio X, a lot of other podcasters in the area, the running joke with me is like, yeah, you can put Sam's show prep on a fortune cookie. of Fortune Cookley Bassett. You can put his show prep there. It's
right
like,
on.
Usually it's just them talking.
Yeah,
it's
right
their
on.
Coffee order. That is the show prep.
Well, as I'm doing more of these, you know, it's I don't rely on the cue cards as much. They're more, they're a prop, they're a takeaway, they're there if I need them. But
mm-hmm.
it's kind of important to play. It's like when you're on stage as a musician, you got to play to the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I sit down, I try to pick up on the vibe of what's happening and try to pick up on the little, because particularly when it's a band, you got four or five people sitting up there. If you say something that, if anybody says something that's kind of humorous and everybody kind of throws in, you get
all that chatter.
You try and listen for, I think, those little comments that people make. I learned this from one of my past interviews. We were talking about, where you see yourself in 5 years, and you plan on living on a tour bus. And so everybody's kind of laughing and joking and talking about, one of the people in the band said, I've actually lived on a tour bus. And I didn't pick up on it when we were there because there was so much noise and chatter,
mm-hmm.
right, when everybody was laughing. But when I'm in the edit, I saw it, and I was like, that is something I should have dove into a little bit more. So I've learned to kind of be a little bit more attentive and pay attention to the backstory of what's going on when everybody's chattering like that.
Oh, well, that happens, man. There's always, I guarantee, as open as we're being right now,
mm-hmm.
there's when we pull out of this driveway and go home, you're going to have that thing like, oh, I should have said.
Well, it's hindsight's 2020, right?
Oh, man, it always is.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many questions, like, I want to go back and ask. I wish there was, like, a, what they call it when you get fired or you leave a job, an exit interview.
Yeah.
I wish I had an exit interview. They're like, yeah, we forgot to ask this.
Well, you know how I cover my ass on that one is when we get to the end of an interview, I always say, all right, any acknowledgments and that sort of thing, right? Anybody you want to thank? Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you'd like to bring up, right? So I at least lob one over the plate at the end of the interview just to make sure if there's anything that they wanted to get out that they can. It usually puts them on the spot, and they don't have anything to say. But at least I give that opportunity.
Yeah, sometimes my lob over the plate is the social media presence when it goes up on Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a great interview and ask the audience, hey, do they have any follow-up questions? Tell them you love them. Tell them you like them. Just put a hashtag. If it's Twitter, JTWS.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them where you heard them from. But you got that extra element. That extra element of video.
Yeah.
That's where I think my wall I've had with people where they get very self-conscious because it's video.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are, like, extremely aware. And the second I say, no, it's just audio. You can talk. You can do whatever. You can look
right.
however you want. That sigh of relief is deafening. Like, oh, my God, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, and it just being a conversation, I can see where people could get lost in it, right?
Yeah.
But what I find, though, Motor City Musicians, I'm gearing it up. The tagline that we have, and people will see this when they go to the site, we're gearing
mm-hmm.
up to be Southeast Michigan's premier online music industry community.
Mm.
Right? So it's not just about those that play instruments or sing. I'm seeking out engineers, producers, studios. I did an interview with the guys who started Blackport Speaker Cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
They're building cabinets right here out of Royal Oak. They are absolutely fantastic. They sound great. I've been to a couple of shows. They invited me to MC one of their first showcases.
Okay.
So I'm looking to be involved with everybody and anybody that's involved with the music industry in any way. You are. You're podcasting, you're interviewing.
Just barely, all right.
All right, okay, maybe it's a fine line there, but you are, right? So that's what I mean is I don't want to be kind of painted into a corner at some point.
No. If you take that route, you will, I assure you, you will always have a guest because it's so many people. We make the joke on the show, like, dude, I can throw a rock and hit a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I can throw a rock and hit a bassist. Sorry.
Well, you see, but that's the hurdle that I'm dealing with right now, being new with this, right? We just launched in January, so it's fairly new, but we got a couple hundred registered users now. We're about to hit 300 likes on the Facebook page, so over the last couple of months, in and around my daytime job, I'm doing pretty well at building this thing. The problem is I'm a classic rock dude, right?
Okay.
And that is my circle of influence. So the people that I've been involved with thus far have been more on the rock side of things. I've got some connections with a few other people that I'm courting right now, if you
will.
Okay. And I'm hoping to break into some other genres and even more importantly, even get out of the musician side of things and start getting into the studios and start interviewing engineers and producers and that sort of thing.
Now, I like what you're doing. Like I said, I'm a fan first. We got two rules on this podcast. We call it the double F rule. The only way you get on this mic if we're friends or fans.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so I, as a fan, because I want to see you grow, I will give you a tip. It is what we did and the floodgates poured open with musical people.
Mm-hmm.
Here's his tip. Okay, obviously I saw you got an iPhone. There's music on it. What is the least played music on your iPhone right now? If you just take a guess, there's no wrong answers.
Well, being a musician, I have all our playlists and all that sort of thing. So I don't know what even to guess because when I put it on, it's on shuffle and I hear just about everything.
Okay, let's take this from a different way. Go to the next music festival.
Mm-hmm.
Which don't necessarily have to be music festival, but the next outing of people, gathering of people in the Metro Detroit area.
Mm-hmm.
Go. You may have to spend $20.
Mm-hmm.
Get one of those Home Depot little pop up tents. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
the little $20 boys.
Yep.
And a folding chair. Put Boulder City Musicians and just sit there, just with a nice little thing that says "Interviewing Artist," and just have your caddy camera ready. I assure you, you will have content upon content upon content.
We're gearing up for something like that. I'm
like
one of the events that I'm trying to get into, and I'm actually talking to one of the publicists. They're looking to hook me up with some passes. Is the Dirt Fest that's coming up?
Boom. That's it.
50 bands on the bill.
That's
I'm
going
to take in a cameraman, an assistant. We'll just do the roving camera. And we'll talk to everybody we can and cover the whole show.
Like you got a better shot than we did starting out three years ago, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
It was just me, my wife, and an Olympus, like the handheld Olympus kit.
Yeah.
And I wore this T-shirt. Well, not this T-shirt. A T-shirt that looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
And just walked up the Riverwalk. And they were like, what's a podcast? All right, first of all, people were just like, what's a podcast? So I had to sit down, explain what a podcast is. And explain what a podcast is. We're like, wait, you interview people? Yes, we do. I hit the Olympus button. Interview. Interview, interview. Like, granted, these were like mini versions of the show, like these little 5-minute interviews. Then it just, you just go on the fly. You just ask like 5 or 6 questions, let them get their social media stuff out of the way, and you just go. And you just go. And you just go. And you just go. You take their social media stuff and like, hey, you sit back. You're an edit guy. This is a nightmare for me. I had to sit back and edit it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but during the edit, I was like, okay, we like how this person sounds. You go through all of their social media.
Right.
And then it just, okay, I want to know more about these people. Or we stay in a digital age. You could take what we did in year two and cheat because editing sucks. It just does. And if you go back,
it just takes a lot of time.
It takes so much
time.
But
that's part of the craft, right? That's kind of
you learn
the artistry in me is coming out when I'm putting these things together.
Yeah, you learn it and you become an artist in your own right. I guess I'm an artist of talk.
Oh, you got the gift of gab for sure.
It's an hour show.
We're just talking with Sam.
It's in the title. I have to. I'm really rethinking naming my show right now.
Mm-mm.
So I can just be lazy. But if you want, okay, you take that Facebook page and you make this message on Facebook that says calling all artists, musicians, engineers, and put the hashtag Detroit. And that's it. You just sit back and let it roll in.
I like that tip. I'm going to take that one to heart.
I'm just telling you
I'm
stuff.
I'm not a big hashtag guy. You know, I'm getting a little older, and I've never been a hashtag guy. I've never really truly understood.
Yeah, all right. Hashtag is, for the most part, this is how I had to break.
It's like metadata, right?
Yeah, it's metadata, but this is how I break down Twitter, Facebook, and all this other stuff. I had to break this down to some my parents. Let's just throw it out there. My mom, who's been on the show, I love my mom, but I'm trying to teach her how to use social media, and that I will take editing any day of the week over that. But social media is this. Twitter is a bunch of people in the room yelling.
Right.
Whoever has the loudest voice wins.
Right on.
Thus the hashtags. Hashtags are just the topic.
It's a filter.
It's just the topic we're talking about. And I'm in a bunch of people. Facebook is essentially a community board. It's you're walking in one big, hey, this is happening, this is happening. I feel this way. I feel this. I feel that. I don't know if you remember this a while ago, especially with the schools. They had the I Like Me boards.
Okay.
I Like Me boards was like stopping like depression and stuff like that in schools. So like every day you had to write some message that says, hey, I feel good about myself in this way. The I Like Me board.
And then you tack that up on the board.
And you tack that up on the board. And then the next day you do it again. That's all Facebook is.
Right.
Instagram is an art gallery. It's a personal art gallery.
Yeah.
It's just a personal art. Excuse me. Instagram is an art gallery that has commentary from you. That's it.
Right. Well, they're all kind of the same these days.
By figuring out each one, you will never run out of guests.
I like that hashtag Detroit idea.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try to see what happens with that.
The second you do it, it's like that scene out of The Walking Dead where like you knock over a plate, you just see these zombies just wake up like, huh? Oh yeah, he's talking about me.
It wakes everybody up. I love it.
That's all it is. That's all it is, man. It's just when you do that, you are never going to run out of gas. And that's it. And especially you widen the gap as far as like managers, engineers, people who normally don't talk. Those are the people I would like to hear from as a fan personally.
Right.
Because usually the people who don't talk have the best stories.
That's correct. They hold their cards close to their chest.
Yes. Even managers, like, I have a love-hate relationship with every manager of a band who's ever been on this show because I understand most managers don't do the legwork to figure out who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, you're not going to ask a lot of embarrassing questions, are you? No,
we'll
I don't
see.
I don't plan on it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of they get really, really shy about that because I don't care what's going on in your bedroom. But if you bring it up, I'm not going to stop you from telling me an awesome story.
That's right, man. So, and a few fans.
So, like, a lot of people, a lot of those guys, like your, I call them the brick walls because that's what they are. They're there to rule out the riffraff. For you to have that job, that means something happened.
Right.
And I want to know what that something is. So, yeah, I encourage you to do that because I want to hear some of these horror stories. Because we trade painted on a few artists, too, and I hope we're doing in a future because some of the questions I didn't think of, you get a chance to ask.
Right.
And vice versa. Like, one of the kudos I give you is about Kaleido. Like, mm-hmm. I met those guys. Those guys are such a powerhouse. No days off attitude.
Oh, man, you've seen their live shows?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, phenomenal. They are really, really good on stage. Very, very well choreographed, very well planned, very professional. That's a great way to describe them. They're very professional. It's a matter of exposure, right? My opinion to music is this. There's a lot of talent out there.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have the skills, then all it really is a matter of exposure to find enough fans that find you appealing. Because music isn't about good or bad. I mean, within reason.
Within reason. You got
but
me
when
there.
You are a good band, the difference between being a local act, a national act, or a global act is the exposure to find enough fans that find the appeal. It's about appeal, not mm-hmm. good or bad. So that I'm looking to bring exposure to the talent that we have here in town so that maybe they find more fans or maybe they find a new producer or maybe a label discovers them, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. However I can expose them and whatever we comes
we'll
of that is
back.
My goal.
That's Absolutely. What got me in the game. I love throwing the ball back.
Yeah.
Like one of the things I put this on anything, the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours effect. You do anything for 10,000 hours, you're going to get better at it. You're going to fail. That just comes with the territory. You're going to fail. You're not going. They all can't be winners. That's just what it is. And through those 10,000 hours, you're going to get better. You're going to get better. Now, you look at musicians, and musicians will always have a bad show.
It's inevitable.
They have a good show. They have a better show.
Yep.
They have a great show. Back to the bad show. And then it comes with that. So all of that time, they're just honing in their skills. That's one of the questions I love asking bands. Tell me about a hell gig. Tell me about, you're a musician. Go ahead. Tell me about a hell gig you had.
Bad sound on stage. We were doing a show, and they had the most horrible stage sound. And when you're on stage playing, you need to be able to hear what the other musicians are doing, because you understand how stages are usually set up.
Yeah.
The speakers are in front of the stage facing the audience. So
right.
They put monitors on the stage so that you can hear what's going on to stay in sync and all the rest of that. We played a show there.
And depending on the venue, you get one of those little earpieces.
Sometimes you can get an in-ear.
Yeah.
But that's a much larger venue if you're going to get to that point. Unless you start bringing your own. You can bring your own. We have some, but we typically don't bust those out because that stays home in the studio in the own PA. But, yeah, we were doing a show, and the onstage sound was horrible. So it kind of threw us out of our element a little bit, and we had to keep checking on each other and working our timing together visually than just doing our thing there on stage.
Mm-hmm.
We all have those kinds of shows. But then you have those shows where you're just in sync, and it's like magic. It's like magic. You're performing as one, and it's the best feeling. That's why I'm still doing it today at my age.
I mean, you have to, because there's no drug equivalent to the performer's high, I guess. When you do that great show, like, you feel like the man. Like, even me, like, I don't play an instrument, but I've had some kick-ass interviews, and I just, like, yeah, this is going up Sunday. I feel good. I need you guys to see it. I've had shows where I emceed or I did live stuff where you're like, hey, remember that joke I just did like 5 minutes ago?
Yeah.
The crowd was with me. Ah!
Well, you play off of that kind of a thing. Look, if you're in sync, it raises the energy level just a little bit, right? And then the audience picks up on that, which raises their energy level a little bit. And then the band feeds off of that. And it just goes back and forth till the band. I was just this past Saturday, I was interviewing Tantric because Hugo, the front man of that band, was here in Detroit for a while, which qualifies him as a Motor City musician. And they were rolling through town on tour. So I got in touch with management, and they said, yeah, it'd be awesome to be interviewed. We'd love it. So they set me up to do the interview, and one of the things they mentioned is that they love playing at the Machine Shop up in Flint.
Okay.
Because the audience there is always on fire. The energy is so high in that room that they just they eat it up, and it makes them perform better. So you get this perpetual back and forth. It's almost like a tennis match. The energy level just keeps increasing, and by the end of the show, everybody is at top of their game, and it's a good time.
Yeah, you're right. I've been to the Machine Shop, and just being in that atmosphere, I don't care if you don't like the band, you still feel a part of it. It's just like that feat. It's actually pretty intimidating, to be quite honest with you. It is. It can be. It has the potential to be, because if you do not meet that expectation, like you said, the tennis match, that thing will turn on you so quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it can go in the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And once you're down that hole.
You got to start with a good serve.
Yeah, once you're down that hole, there's no really, really getting out. Like, I like how you talk about this. Like, do you have, I know we kind of talked about this, we touched on it briefly, you're just getting started with Motor City Musicians. It's a great project. I love the website. I love the interviews you've done so far.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had to put your name on it right now, who do you want on that show? Who would you like? Dream guest.
Who's the ultimate Motor City musician right now? I mean, it would be Kid Rock for sure, right?
Really?
Absolutely. I'd love to sit down with him. I would love to sit down with Bob Seger. I would love to sit down with
Ted Nugent. Took mine. That's
right?
My guy.
I would love to have some time to sit down with Eminem. I mean, we've had so. I just got in touch with the management for Taproot, a band out of Ann Arbor.
Oh, yeah.
They've been touring. They just got done. They went on hiatus for a little bit. Management got back and said, yeah, that'd be great, but the guys are on hiatus right now. Why don't we circle back in January? I'm like, I'm all about it. So I really want to be able to get to the big names.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the biggest audiences, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, the focus is to try and bring some exposure to the small guy that we have here, right? I want to take some of the smaller bands and give them one more step in the ladder that they're trying to climb to make it.
That's
and if I can bring in the bigger names, they've already made it. So exposing them is no big deal. But they have the audience. And if I can get in front of these guys and bring more exposure to the website, that's just going to expose all the rest of the bands that I'm interviewing.
Now, that's the hurdle. I mean, quite honestly, I have a pretty decent-sized audience. I mean, I like my audience. I would like it to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But the key, I don't look at it like that. I understand it. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you continue to look at it like that, it will bother you. It will always.
Well, I don't anticipate, you know, getting to these bigger names that fast.
Okay. All right. I want to make that play.
So yeah, no, I've got the roadmap planned out. I see what the future holds. Right. I got to start small. I got to build it small. It's just going to happen that way naturally. But the ultimate goal for MotorCityMusicians.com, Motor City Musicians LLC is the official name, is to be able to start the foundation. Right?
Okay.
And we talked about this a little bit on the phone when we were setting this up.
Yeah, yeah.
It all started with this idea of having a forum just to bring a tighter sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had our Motown.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, back in the 80s, L.A. had the hair band scene. And then in the 90s, everybody was coming out of the Northwest with the grunge movement.
Yeah.
The 2Ks have kind of been kind of indie. But I think it's about time we put Detroit back on the map. And here's the thing. So I'm going to start doing my live shows this summer.
Okay.
I want to parlay that into doing festivals. I'd love to be able to do an all-weekend festival where we start Friday night, go through Sunday night.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we bring in 100 bands from in the area just to really showcase that. But what my intent is with that, of course, is to bring awareness to the bands that are there, but more importantly, bring more awareness to MotorCityMusicians.com.
Dude, if you ever need an MC for something like that, I have absolutely nothing to do.
Fantastic. I'd love to bring you on for that. But what that's going to allow us to do is gain more public awareness. And once we have the public awareness, I tell people this is my deathbed approach. I want to be able to start a foundation where we can do charitable work. So the bands and musicians and the people in the industry that want to be able to get, you know, give back to the community will get together to raise funds to keep the music alive. I have a tagline. Every time I close one of my interviews, the last thing I said is keep the music alive is what
you
I say.
You can say it. It's cool. You
it's
can
all
say
good.
It. You know, it's safe. Just, you're in a safe place.
Yeah, it's all good. Keep the music alive, and there's a meaning behind that. You know, I'm focusing on all of the talent that we have here today,
mm-hmm.
but all the talent that we have here today is going to grow up at some point, right?
That is true.
So we need to nurture the talent of tomorrow as well. And you hear it talk all the time, you know, they're going to pull the music education programs out of the public schools and all the rest of this. So I want to put this foundation together to raise charitable funds to keep the music alive through music education for the kids. You know, I'm happy with the career that I've had, and I'm happy with what I've done, but I don't feel that I've really made a difference. You know, a lot of people want to be able to make a difference. And I feel, you know, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, if I've put a couple hundred kids through music education or offered them instruments through some sort of instrument program or whatever the case may be, that'll be quite an accomplishment for me. I'll be very proud of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, just going through philanthropy right now, but like you said, ground floor. You got to build it up mm-hmm. in which you can do it. And I get
it's going to take some time. I'm looking at about a 10-year plan is my goal.
Fair enough. Yep. But, yeah, you're going to need some of those bigger guys like your Bob Segers. But the way I look at it.
Well, hopefully Bob will still be with us in 10 years. He's getting up there.
Yeah, he is. But, I mean, like, I kind of want to be that guy. Hey, Bob, I know you. You got any stories you just want to tell off the record, but kind of on the record?
It'd be great, wouldn't it? I mean, the stories he could tell.
Like, just walk me through Night Moves, the entire album, and I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, right on.
But, like, when you get that, that's why I said the way I look at it, I do it one show at a time via content. Having some great people, because I always have this, mine and yours are very similar. Like the 10-year plan, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel as though the reason I went podcasting and not doing it live or something like that, I feel as though after this is all over, after this is where I unplug it for the last time, I'm done, there's going to be like some kid I'm in my like late hundreds with, you know, miracles of modern medicine. I can
live never know.
400.
You never know.
Like I'm 425. There's going to be some kid on this new hyper internet that just goes back through the catalog and figures this thing out. It just listen to the archives and listen how this thing is going. You're like, oh my God.
Well, I'm kind of doing the same thing with the videos, you know. I mean, I've got my own YouTube channel, and once I have a couple hundred of these things or a couple thousand of these things done, it will be its own entity, right? I mean, you want to find the talent that's in Detroit, you go to MotorCityMusicians.com's YouTube channel.
Yep, and you can just
see it all
sit
right
back
there.
And catalog it.
That's right. Search for what you want to.
But in that aspect of it, the content is always going to speak for itself because at the end of the day, you can catalog people. I just I guess I'm a live in a moment type of guy.
Yeah.
Where I understand the longer road. I get the longer road. I never like focusing on the longer road because if I change my mind right now, now I affect.
Well, there's always that possibility.
Yeah, like the Back to the Future problem. Like if you come back with Biff's sports almanac and start changing stuff now, you totally affect the future.
Mm-hmm.
So like living in the moment, getting some cool stories for the moment right now. Like, and then I can feed into that little. At the end of the day, we're fanboys. Fanboys
right.
And fangirls.
That's exactly right.
So you feed into it like, oh my God, that was great. And then you walk away and like, I can't wait for the people to see the greatness. And then they see the greatness. And then that snowballs into it. Because one thing I have noticed with most people, let alone musicians, like, oh my God, that was a great interview. Why did... We should be interviewed by that guy. That guy gets a great interview.
Yeah, I get some of that sometimes.
Yeah, you get a referral. Like,
yeah.
I've gotten a few referrals. Like, dude, seriously, this guy will not talk about your album for 45 minutes. He's going to get to it, but it's probably going to be over a pastrami sandwich. It's probably going to be. You guys are going to have a great meal.
Yeah,
and then it's just going to evolve into my career or whatever. But that's where it comes down because you get that nod. That's all I fight for, I guess, right now. And that builds because the nod is like, yeah, it was a cool interview. I remember that guy. And then the people around that person like, what the hell are you talking about? And then they're like, oh, well, this guy did a thing one time. And then I can't tell you. Let me show you. And then they break out their phone. And then that's however way you do it. What you have right now is a great plan.
Thank you.
And
everybody that's been exposed to it thus far gives it the nod.
Yeah.
They think I'm onto something. It's something that we've needed for a long time here in this town.
This is what I'm talking about right now. This is the nod. I'm literally nodding.
Thank you for your nod.
This is the nod. Where when you do that, it's just kind of like, oh my God, you got to see like this guy. Like I looked at the Kaleido interview. I pretty much looked at all of them, but that's the one I watched the most.
Yeah.
And from what I gather, tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm totally full of shit, just tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you were the most nervous in that one than you were in the other ones because it almost seemed like a fish out of water aspect.
It was a little fish out of water aspect because it kind of threw me for a loop, right? I mean, Kaleido's doing pretty well for themselves right now. It's not fair to gauge the size of bands by the number of likes, but when you don't have any other type of metrics, it's really tough to, right? But they've got about 7,500 likes, and
yeah.
I asked them, I said, are those organic? And they said they are, because you know you can buy likes, right? You throw enough money at it, you can get enough likes from all over the world. Those are all organic, which says a lot. 7,500 likes is a big deal. So they're already involved with management companies and all the rest of that, and I was having to deal with their manager and that sort of thing to try and set this whole thing up. And you saw some of the other ones, it was typically in the studio.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I don't care if it's in your basement. Let's do it wherever you guys rehearse, wherever you write. Let's do it wherever you feel most comfortable because that's what the fans want to see.
That's why we're
digital. They want to see where the magic happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So their management said, well, why don't we do it down here at the management offices, which is downtown? And I said, okay, that's cool. You know, I figured there'd be a really cool boardroom there or something like
that. Nope.
Nope. They have an office there that looks like an office. There's a desk and papers and there's, you know, a couch and chairs, but it wasn't scenic. But they had that hallway right there and there. And when I first saw that, I was like, oh, man, I'm kind of bummed about this because I'm so used to, like, trying to do it in their studios because that's just one more element, one more layer of depth to the whole thing. So it did kind of throw me off my game a little bit for that one. And in the end, it worked out.
We got
lots of good information.
Totally.
And they've had quite a few views, and it's still a successful interview. But, you know, as I'm getting into these, it's kind of like what we talked about on the phone. You know, I'm structured, and I'm trying to maintain a level of professionalism that's gonna carry through because I want to make sure I'm doing them a good service.
Yes.
First and foremost, it's not about me. Okay, it is a bit about me because I want to get that exposure so
there
I can get to the point of having the foundation.
There
right?
we go.
That's why I'm on camera when I do the interviews instead of off camera. I want to be recognized, not from a vanity standpoint, but I want people to recognize me. And that's happened. I've gone to a show.
You're the guy.
Anytime I am out and about and it's music related, I wear my uniform.
Yeah.
And I've had people recognize me from some of those interviews. And that's fantastic because when the time comes to start this foundation, I will already have a face that people see, hopefully will trust, and hopefully will relate to integrity, and somebody that's really trying to make a difference here in this town.
That makes sense.
That's kind of what it's all about. So, you know, I'm thankful for the folks that have been involved thus far, and with all the names and the referrals that I'm getting from these people, I don't think it's going to be long at all before I'm going to be overwhelmed.
Yeah, your eye for detail is awesome. Now, I say that as, I guess, on the other side of the spectrum, mm-hmm. where everything we do is super laid back.
Right.
Your eye for detail is great. Your ear for detail is great, because you were telling me, like giving me little pointers with my stuff. Right. And I like that. But
that probably just comes from my production background.
But that's just what it is. Remember what we just talked about? Some of those guys don't get a chance to talk.
Right.
Some of those guys don't get a chance to be on camera. Now, the reason I brought up the Kaleido interview in the first place is because it looked like you were out of your element, but you still got enough coolness in you.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be a fight. Like, I have it. I fake it like I don't all the time, but I have that production value versus content value. There's always a structure in my head. 9 times out of 10, I'm probably going to go content. But right, production is a huge factor. And you want to throw that ball back to whoever you have, in my case, Mike, or you have on camera.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do such a good job for them. So, like, usually if you see, that's why I always, whatever happens on the podcast, it probably jumps into social media because I tag them and everything. I tweet about it.
Promote the hell out of it.
I tweet it like it's going out of style. There will never be another one of these. Because, quite honestly, depending on how good of a job you do, there probably won't be. If you did a shitty job, it probably won't be another time.
Sometimes you're in the game, sometimes you're not. I do appreciate you bringing up Kaleido, though, because, you know, you're going to have a lot of listeners that are going to listen to this podcast that maybe have never heard of them.
Yeah.
So here I am, serving my
purpose
once again. That's
just what it is. And same thing with you, personally. Let's just put the light back on you. A lot of people at the start of this podcast will have absolutely no idea who the hell you are. Sorry. That's just how the internet works.
Absolutely. I'm just getting started.
And you're just getting started. But that's why I said, please say your stuff at the beginning. Because there, I'm pretty sure at like 45 minutes into it now, I know it goes fast, does it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. 45 minutes into it, there's going to be a person who's just going to be like, oh, I really need to learn more about Leon. I really need to learn more about Motor City Musicians.
Well, if you want to learn a little bit more about Leon, then go to facebook.com/LeonCarpenterFans.
Oh, look at you.
I have started my own fan page, right?
Look at you.
And it's on there that you'll also be able to find out which band I'm in, which is called The Garden of Soul. So, yeah, that's the...
No, please,
there's your VIP access.
Oh, yeah. And you guys as a whole are welcome here, too, because I'm pretty sure there's some stories going around that camp, too. And
yeah.
I have to ask, just for my own personal, how would you pull that off to interview your band?
You know what? That's something I've been struggling with, Sam, because never ever do I ever want anybody to feel that I've used Motor City Musicians as a platform for my other projects, right? Now, I will once I feel we're worthy.
Okay.
Right? Now, my band will have to meet the same criteria as any other band. Someday, we might do that.
Look
right?
at you!
But, no, I'm trying to... It's two different things, right? There's two different sides of this.
Mm-hmm.
The Motor City Musicians thing is really where my passion's at. I love playing music. I love the guys I'm playing with. But I feel I'm going to be able to do more good with Motor City Musicians than I will with the band. And, of course, the guys are going to listen to this. Sorry, guys, but that's just the way it is. They see it. They know it. They understand it.
Okay.
In fact, our singer's trying to get involved. He sees the value in what I'm doing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we got some stories we can share. I mean, I'll share one with you right now.
Oh, please.
How I came about to be in this band. I was in a band back in the 80s.
I'm listening.
And in 89, I took off and went to California. And... A few years ago, through the wonders of Facebook, I got a friend request.
Okay.
And I recognized the name, but I couldn't place it. You know, my former job allowed me.
Jax.
No. But my former job allowed me to fly over the world. I was a traveling salesman, if you will, selling rendering software. You know, I've been in animation and all the rest of it all my life.
Okay.
And so immediately I'm thinking about, okay, who did I meet where? right? And I tried to keep Facebook for friends and family and use LinkedIn for all my business relationships. Well, as soon as I clicked send on the message of, sorry, I can't place you, where do I know you from? Mm-hmm. It dawned on me it was the other guitarist in the band from back in the 80s, right? So we got reconnected and, you know, got together, had lunch with them, told them I was thinking about putting the band back together and that maybe I'd play bass this time because I knew some other guitarists. And he says, well, you know, the band I've been in for a while has been shy of a bass player. So I went out and bought some rig and went and auditioned, and here we are. So the story doesn't get too deep. It's, you know, we're all grown men with jobs and families. You know, we're not a bunch of 20-something-year-old kids, you know, shacked up in a loft downtown that is focused on doing nothing but living on a tour bus. But it's a great time. We really love it. I really enjoy playing. I love getting on stage, but I really, really, truly do enjoy bringing exposure to the other talent that we have here in town. I mean, that's what it's about, and hopefully it'll get to the point where we can get this foundation started.
All right. We're running out of time in this podcast, but I got one more question. I don't want to Columbo you, throw that doozy at the end.
No, go right ahead.
I don't
want to
Columbo, but I realize that this is the last bullet I got left in this gun.
Sure.
I'm curious, as a person who interview bands to another person who interview bands, what is your standard for the bands that show up on your platform? I'm curious. I would have beat myself up if I didn't ask that question.
All right. Simply put, I'll elaborate on it a little bit, but simply put, I'm looking for the talent that I feel has the potential to go big, right? I mean, that's the idea. Like I said earlier, I want to give them one more step to get there, right? So, you know, I'm looking for a solid front man, you know, somebody that can sing. You know, you can find great guitarists and bass players and other instrumentalists, but I think to have a good, solid band, each and every person within the band has to be on their game. Now, will an engineer make it? Is there such a thing?
Well, right?
So when I get into interviewing other people, that's just to try and bring a tighter sense of the community here within the music industry. More importantly, it's to meet them, to network with them, to maybe hook up some of these artists producers and engineers and that sort of thing. So there is a certain level of professionalism that I'm looking for in the bands. Not to say that everybody I'm going to interview will be at an elevated level. For example, the Garden of Soul. You know, we're still writing. We haven't even put our first CD together. So I don't think we qualify just yet. Because one of the things that we do when I do these interviews, at least in the last couple, is I take the MCM Minutes, which is a 60-second commercial break where I show part of their video or some of their tracks and that sort of thing, right? So I want to be able to paint a good picture of who they really are. And once they've gotten to that point where they have material of their own, if I feel they've got the potential, then I'm going to help expose them best I can.
Wow. With that, I got to say it, the David Copperfield to my Chris Angel. I mean, thank you in that aspect. I'm like, I should be doing more. And like, I just really thought to myself, like, yeah, I should be doing more. I'm not going to, but I should be doing more.
Well, you can look forward to me showing up at the roast because I'm sure there's a few people there that I need to be talking to.
Oh, you better believe it's so many people showing up to that roast. I would ask you to start there because there's a few people at that roast. I'm pretty sure that they're going to want to talk to you.
Wonderful.
Please have cards, shake some hands, ignore me crying in the corner.
Hey, that's what the roast is for, man.
Yeah. I've never seen that many people come together on anything. Like, oh, yeah, I could tell horrible stories about something. Like, we put I don't know if you saw it on social media, we put the time limit to 5 minutes, and our biggest complaint was, wait, only 5 minutes?
5 minutes can go pretty fast.
I don't know how to feel about that. More people have more jokes ranging past 5 minutes. See, I'm looking at the other end of the spectrum. Like, when you're in front of a crowd, 5 minutes, that can be an eternity.
Yeah.
These guys are willing to go past eternity. Yeah, so it's going to be a fun night.
I'm looking forward to it.
But one more time, like I said, before we close, I want to make sure we do you justice. All your social media information, go ahead one more time.
Right, one more time. MotorCityMusicians.com is where it starts. From there, you'll be able to find the Facebook page, Twitter page, and the YouTube page. And even more importantly, if I can put in one plug for this, is the merch page is now live. We did a Kickstarter program.
Okay.
And we did a 100-piece run of founding member shirts and hoodies and that sort of thing. There's only 100 of them. We will not be reprinting them. So if anybody's interested in getting in at the ground level, one of the things I look forward to is maybe when we're doing these festivals or these charity events, is seeing somebody that bought one of the original T-shirts 10 years, 20 years later, knowing that they've been involved in supporting Motor City Musicians all this time. So get on there, check out that merch page, become a member, like the Facebook page, and support your local music. Keep the music alive, as we say.
That's such a good idea. It should have been mine.
Yeah, you're sharing good ideas with me. I'm going to share mine with you, man. I'm looking forward to a long relationship.
That's such a good idea. They have these, like, interwoven collector's pieces.
Yeah.
And then you just look back however many years later, just like, oh, yeah, that guy's been with us from the beginning because look what he's wearing.
That's right. He's been there since the beginning.
Oh, man. So I don't want to, but we're at an hour. I told you it goes by fast, doesn't it?
It does.
See? And you were a little afraid. You were just like, I don't know if I got that much to say.
An hour. That's a long time. But you know what? When I shoot my interviews, I usually shoot almost an hour's worth of footage, right? And the extended version goes about 45 minutes.
Yeah. See? I have to do my song and dance one more time. So, as always, I thank Leon for coming on, being a part of the podcast. You are welcome back anytime you want.
Thank you very
much. And if you got any more programs or anything, we will gladly share it on our Facebook page and all
that
other fun stuff. As always, you can catch anything related to the podcast at samshownation.com, Facebook/ Just Talk With Sam, Instagram also Just Talk With Sam, and me on the tweets is samshow11 on Twitter. Before I close out, how do you feel?
How do you feel? Great, man. I really appreciate this. I'm looking forward to meeting some of your circle of influence and expanding mine.
All right. Great. And I guess we can close with that. Guys, I will see you guys next week. Peace out, yo.